Go turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33, we've continued on in considerations here in the Scripture of this subject, I know thee by name. And there in Exodus 33, we have the time of the children of Israel have sinned against the Lord. And the Lord has told them, you just sit down, kind of like we'll do with our children. You sit down here and let me think about what I'm going to do to you. And the Lord does that. He does that. And Brother Moses, he intercedes for the children of Israel. And back there at the burning bush, all the way when Brother Moses' ministry started, the Lord called to him out of that bush by name, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And the Lord spoke to him and called him there at that place back in Exodus chapter 3. And Moses is interceded in Exodus 33 for the children of Israel. The Lord's threatened to do some things regarding them, destroy them, make of Moses a nation, deal with them in a very, very harsh way. Moses is looking for the presence of the Lord and desires that. And in Exodus 33, verse number 17, the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. But it's not the first time Moses has been looking to the Lord. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. I tell you what, there's nothing better than the Lord to know you by name. If you're here and not saved, I pray that the Lord would know you by name. The Lord would deal with you. We pray for you actively in that regard, that the Lord would visit you and trouble you and stir you to your great need. You need the Lord, just like we do. We need the Lord too. In John chapter 1, we want to take a look at this fellow, and he's a major character in the Scriptures. And it's interesting, when we take a look in the Scriptures about those that the Lord called by name, we find with this fellow that he did so quite a few times. I didn't realize that. We're going to take a look here at Simon Peter, Brother Peter, the Apostle Peter. Here in John chapter 1, our Lord Jesus has come on the scene, and we pick it up in verse number 35, where the Scripture says, and again the next day, after John, that is John the Baptist, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, saith, Behold the Lamb of God. You know, that's the message that we declare today. You that are here and not saved, behold the Lamb of God. Or maybe you're wayward from the Lord in that. Behold the Lamb of God. Look on the Lord. I tell you what, you really look on the Lord, as we saw last week, and see Him for who He is, it'll be a life-changing experience indeed. John says, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard Him speak, and they followed Jesus. Verse 38, Then Jesus turned and saw them following, saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto Him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He said unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the tenth hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew. So we see that Andrew was one of the two there with John. When John said, Behold the Lamb of God, fellas. Look at him. There he is. And one of them was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Verse 41, He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. Verse 42, And he brought him to Jesus. He brought Peter to Jesus, Simon to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Don't you find that first encounter between Peter and the Lord Jesus Christ interesting? And we think about that. We slow down and think about that. You are compelled by someone dear to you and that you trust to go and see this fellow, to meet this fellow. Of course, Andrew told him, said, We found the Messiah. Here he is. And then said, you step up there to this man, and right off the bat he says, Here's your name, and here's what you're going to be called. Now, what would that do to your ego? Your name is Mark, but from now on, you're going to be called I tell you what, it would be abrupt. I mean, you're used to your name, aren't you? Just like Simon was his. But the Lord said, we're going to call you Cephas from now on. Thou shalt be called. And the Lord is not saying just right now, but he's telling about in the future, isn't he? If you will, there is a sense he's changing his name, in a sense, which is by interpretation a stone. What do you think about Brother Peter? As we look at Brother Peter in the scriptures, I tell you what, he's got, Brother Peter, I believe, has got a big mouth. And he's willing to speak. And he's willing to tell you what's on his mind in a heartbeat. I believe that's Peter. I believe that Peter's a brash kind of fella, no kid gloves kind of thing with Peter, with Cephas now. The Lord maybe was dealing with the character of this man. He says, you're a stone, a pebble. Peter might have really thought a lot of himself. Peter might have had the attitude that he was rough and tough and hard to bluff. But then the Lord says, you're a pebble, you're a stone, Cephas. We come over to Matthew chapter 16. We see the Lord here, and of course he's called Peter and other brethren. And the Lord's asking a question here and of them. He's asking what the people are saying. Well, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And then in verse number 15 of Matthew 16, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Now, you know, that's something that each and every one of us need to face up with individually and personally. Who do you say that Jesus Christ is? Does he mean anything to you personally? I tell you what, he is the Savior that you and I need. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ. You know what? He took up Andrew's opinion, didn't he? Andrew said, we found the Messiah, which being interpreted as the Christ. We found the Savior. And, you know, Peter says that too. He says, yes, you're the Christ. Who do you say that I am? Peter chimes up. You see Peter chiming up often. First, he said, thou art the Christ. And not only that, the Son of the living God. You've come straight from God the Father, right down here to us. You're the Son of God, and you're my Savior. You're our Savior. Jesus answered and said unto him, verse 17, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. That's how you know it, Peter. Simon, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Here we have it again, that the Lord has taken Peter, seemingly. He mentions his name, and we saw about what the Lord said about him in changing his name to Cephas. Once again, he's taken Peter, the one that answered quickly and the one that seems to be very loud amongst the apostles, and he takes him and he pushes him down again, doesn't he? I'm not saying that the Lord's ridiculing him, but the Lord is putting him in his place. Peter, Cephas, you're a pebble. But on this rock, the Lord, we believe the Lord signifying himself. If you remember when Brother Tom was with us, he preached about that locale when the Lord, it seemed that the Lord said these words and all these little stones that are at hand and in this place that this cave that's in this mountain, that the people, the Jews, called the gates of hell because of the steam that emitted from it and smoke or whatever, and then the great mountain that it was. Whether the Lord was talking about that or talking about himself, he is the great work. And he is that upon which even our church, Olmsted Baptist Church, is founded upon. Not Peter. And so he takes Peter and he humbles him, doesn't he? He humbles him, again, not to ridicule, but to just understand soberly the way things are. Peter, you're little. And Peter, I am great, and I'm going to do a great work. And you know what? Peter, along with us and the disciples there, are the benefactors of that great work of our Lord. It's to honor and glorify our Lord. But he calls his name again, doesn't he? We saw that in John chapter 1. Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. He knows him by name, doesn't he? He gives him another name, Cephas. We're going to call you a stone from now on, a little one. Simon Bar-Jonah here in Matthew 16. Your flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say unto thee that thou art Peter, but not on you, but upon this rock. As a play on words, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, even that of death, shall not prevail against it. You know, here it's made very clear by our Lord that flesh and blood hasn't revealed to you, Peter, who I am. But the Father has. And you know what? We need to slow down there and consider, we do not know everything. Do you think Peter was a fellow that came across knowing everything? I tell you what, he knew how to fish, and he knew how to handle a knife. I imagine Peter, and supposition on my part, but I imagine Peter thought himself to be a very good judge of character. And he had an opinion about everything. But you know what? He didn't know this about the Lord Jesus being the Christ, being the Messiah. He didn't know this about the Lord being the Son of God incarnate. Not from himself, but from the Lord. You know, we don't know everything. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, he says to Peter. You know what? Yet we naturally behave as if we know everything. Don't we? We do. Those that are unrepentant, those that don't see and receive the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has said and what he has come to do and his word that he's given, his word that he has magnified above all of his name, think they've got another better way. You know what people, what sinners need to do is we need to humble ourselves to the Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes to everything that you say, and no to me and everything that I think and every say. We don't know everything. Peter, flesh and blood, of your own ability, you've not known this about me, but of the Father. We don't know everything, yet we naturally behave as if we do know everything, but indeed we do not. We need to humble ourselves to the Lord's knowledge. In Luke chapter 22, the Lord has been with his disciples. He's pursued that ministry, as we mentioned this morning, and he's somewhere there around 80, from 80, 29, 30 to 32, 33. And he's there with the disciples in the upper room, observing the Passover, instituting the Lord's Supper. We come to verse number 31 in Luke chapter 22. Verse number 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, there he is again. He's saying his name. I tell you what, he declared Brother Peter's name a lot, more seemingly than any other. Now, Brother Ezekiel, we saw that in our study of that book some time ago. He gave him, he used a reference, if you will, maybe a name, a son of man, and he did that many other times, but I don't know of any other character that the Lord, the Scriptures record the calling of one person's name more than Peter. I find that interesting. I think that we see in Brother Peter the call, the Lord's call to humility and edification. From the very beginning, the Lord has been taking Peter and putting him in his place. And even in his reference to building his church, he's putting him in his place. He's a stone. He's a pebble. You know what? He's a very small piece of what's going on, just like you and me. But I tell you what, our Lord is everything to what's going on. And praise his name that he is. You know why? You and I, we'd mess it up. We'd foul it up royally. But I tell you what, it's a wonder, it's a blessing, it's a great thing that our Lord is in control. Here, they've had this mixed blessing of observing the Passover with the Lord, him instituting the Lord's Supper, and we're going to observe that this afternoon. We look forward to that. And the Lord says this to him, Simon, Simon, behold, look at it, Simon. Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Like Brother Job, evidently there's an accusation that Satan has been making in regards to Brother Peter. There's nothing to him, God. He is all chaff. He is all mouth and no heart. He is all talk, but no substance. That sifting of the wheat, what is that? That's just like what John preached about what the Lord is doing. He's gathering his wheat into the garner, and in the garner, the chaff and the kernel is separated by threshing. And the wheat is gathered into the garner, or the threshing floor rather, and the wheat's gathered, the fruit is gathered into the garner, and the chaff is burned with unquenchable fire. That's the way the Lord's going to work amongst mankind. He's going to save. And that which is not saved, that which rejects him, is going to be burned. Satan, the Lord Jesus, when Peter would least expect it, and then they have this quandary about what the Lord Jesus has been saying about him dying and all that, the things he's telling in advance, things he's going to tell. But they've really had a blessed time in what the Lord, that time there with him. There's question in their mind. And all of a sudden the Lord says, Simon, Satan wants to sift you. He wants to sift you. He doesn't think that there's anything to you. I'll tell you what, I'm glad for this verse 32, but I have prayed for thee. I know thee by name. You reckon the Lord Jesus prays for those that he knows by name? He does. Oh, he cares for us. He cares every whit about our life. He cares so much about us that he brings things to cause us to grow up, like Brother Stephen is dealing with Brother Job. Sometimes we don't see the Lord until we are brought down and humbled even more. It's just the way that it is. Might as well get used to it. Might as well get, I would say, comfortable. And in this old skin, it's hard to get comfortable with it. But I tell you what, know that it's the case. Closeness to the Lord is generally a result of trial. And learning about what the Lord can do and what his promises are and experiencing those things, it takes hardship many, many times. Oh, I tell you what, in the good times, in the easy times, we need to remind ourselves of what we've learned, what our Lord has taught us. But with growing up, there's growing pains. And it's just that way. Peter, Simon, Satan's desire to sift you like wheat, to have you and sift you like wheat as wheat. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted. I mean, Peter's not saved. Oh yeah, he's saved. Peter's saved, but he's not sold out yet about the call of the Lord upon him and what the Lord's called him to do. His mind has not been renewed and made steadfast in that. He's not got solid that the Lord has called him to be an apostle and that church work is his work for the rest of his life. He's just not there yet. But isn't that a blessing? When thou art converted? The Lord's not saying that with a question mark. Isn't that great? When I bring you to maturity, Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So we see here the Lord again taking Brother Peter, and he humbles him. You know, Peter makes a declaration that he's ready to go to prison and go to death with the Lord. Verse number 33, he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he, Jesus, said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock, the rooster shall not crow this day before thou shalt deny that thou knowest me. I'm ready to die with you. I'm ready to go to prison with you, Peter. The sun's not going to come up before you've denied me three times. How can Peter even think that that would be the case? What do you think that that was a deflation to Peter, or a point of power and strength? I tell you what, the Lord humbled him. Peter, you're weak. I'm praying for you. You'll be converted. But you've got to go through this, and you are going to deny me. But an aspect of this is just the case. Jesus is going to suffer alone. He's going to suffer alone. There's no other way for it to be. And Brother Peter, as well as we need the touch and we need the help of our Lord. The Lord told him, Peter, you're going to sin against me by morning. That's what he told him. You're going to sin against me by morning. You know what? That's what it's going to take in Peter's case to break him down and to humble him before the Lord. The Lord has gone to Calvary and he's raised from the dead. He's appeared to the disciples and he's in that 40 days between his resurrection and Pentecost, he's dealing with them and teaching them and showing them things. In John chapter 21, we have our Lord dealing with our brother again. John 21, verse number 15, we'll pick it up. Peter says, along with some others, and watch who you influence, Peter says, I'm going fishing. And they said, sure, let's go. He said, fishing is predictable. Fishing, I know. I know the beginning and I know the end of fishing. I'm comfortable with that. I'm going fishing. This whole uncertainty about this call of the Lord and all that. And not that Peter has in his mind bailed out on the Lord, but just for as far as his pursuit, he just doesn't get it. Verse number 15, the Lord has called them and they've not done anything and they've not caught anything at that night in fishing. The Lord says, cast your net on the other side, and they can't bring in all that they've caught. There's 153, they counted them, in particular how full that net was. And then they come there to the bank, and the Lord's got, he's got supper already fixed. So, Peter, are you worried about providing for yourself? Peter, are you worried about becoming poor physically in the things of life? It's natural to have that fear. I figure with Peter and his brethren working there in the food chain of Capernaum, they might have not been the wealthiest in Capernaum, but I doubt that they were poor. Does the specter of you following me in the ministry and the way that I have been in this ministry, does that trouble you, Peter, that you just might not have a whole lot? He's going to deal with him in that regard. He shows that he can provide, and he tells him to bring of the fish that they caught. And there is a need to work. Verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, there it is again. He knows him by name, doesn't he? Lovest thou me more than these? Do you love me more than fishing? Peter, do you love me more than fishing? He saith unto him, hey, Lord, thou know that knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. When Peter answers, this word love is talking about, not about agape love, like the Lord is declaring here, but it's like being friends. Yeah, I'm your friend, Lord. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me to give of yourself for me and to obey me in everything? Do you love me more than fishing and the things that you're comfortable with and know? Yeah, I'm your friend, Lord. He says, feed my lambs. There's little ones that are going to need to be fed, Peter. He saith unto him again on verse 16, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, I know thee by name. Lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I'm your friend. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Do you love me? Do you agape love me? Peter, yeah, I'm your friend, Lord. I'm your friend. Peter's not committed, is he? He's not committed because he's not converted. Verse number 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? I tell you what, when you go and you take a look in the Greek with this word, Jesus has not said agape, self-sacrificing love, but he said unto Peter, hey, Peter, are you my friend? We're we're okay with us being flexible about our relationship to the Lord, but I tell you what, we don't want the Lord to be flexible about his relationship to us, do we? We can justify moving and squirming around with our care and our love, our dedication to the Lord, but I tell you what, we do not want our Lord to move on his dedication for us, do we? Yeah, we're friends, Peter. We're friends. Peter was grieved. That's the reason he's grieved. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" That third time he said, "Are we friends, Peter? Is that all we are? Is friends?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest." When you're young, Peter, you could do anything you wanted to, and go anywhere you wanted to go of your own volition. But when thou shalt be old, when you get older, Peter, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Verse 19 gives us clarity about this. "This spake he," this spake Jesus, signifying by what death Peter should glorify God. "And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me." The Lord tells Peter plainly, "You're going to be crucified, Peter. Peter, you're going to be taken." And Peter, I tell you what, was a man, I believe, that was not going to be affected or controlled by anybody. But the Lord has told him, "Peter, you're going to be crucified." And Peter's going to come to understand that he's going to be crucified like the Lord is going to be, has been crucified. He knows that Jesus has been crucified. He says, "Peter, you're going to be crucified." He says to him, "You follow me, Peter. You follow me." Peter, Simon Peter, the call to humility and edification. You know what? We must learn who is the rock and who is the pebble. That's just the way that it is. We must learn who is the rock and who is the pebble. And in these verses, these passages that we've seen the Lord Jesus working that and showing that to Brother Peter. In Daniel, Brother Nebuchadnezzar, in verse number 37, he declares, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase." He's Nebuchadnezzar saying, "Just like me." See, Nebuchadnezzar didn't answer to anybody. Nebuchadnezzar thought he knew everything. But you know what? When he met the one that was in the furnace, the fourth one that was in the furnace, that was likened to the Son of Man, with the appearance likened to the Son of Man, I tell you what, when he met him, he found out he didn't know everything. And he's thankful for it. When he met him, when the Lord caused that to fall upon Nebuchadnezzar, seemingly for 7 years that he was out like the beast of the field, the king, and kept his kingdom secure until the Lord brought him out of that. I tell you what, those that walk in pride, he's able to abase. You think you know everything? I tell you what, to think that you know everything is a prideful, prideful thing against God. Do you know everything? I tell you what, you and I know nothing. It's our Lord that has the knowledge and the truth. In Micah chapter 6, verse number 8, a verse that is just always, it's just had a special indication. And just a special verse. In Micah 6, verse number 8, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good." The Lord has. "And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." Hadn't he shown you? Hadn't he shown you what it is that you should do? Hadn't the Lord shown us that to walk humbly with him is the way of life? I tell you what, it is. Are you young? Are you old? Are you middle-aged? I tell you what, are you walking humbly with God? He's your God. You need to walk humbly with him. and to walk humbly with Him, you'll hear and believe what He says. Jesus declared in the beginning of His ministry in Luke chapter 4, verse number 18, He declared, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." This is prophetic. He's rehearsing it out of Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." See, we are poor. We are poor. And every you name the attribute. You name the character, and we are poor in it. We need the Lord. We need to see that. And in this truth of the way it is with us naturally, we need to be humbled in that we might look up to the Lord. Peter needed to be humbled that he might serve and believe and trust in his Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the Lord Jesus declares, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. We're broken. Indeed, broken by sin, that killer of sin, disobedience against God. The Lord says to preach deliverance to the captives. We are bound up, naturally, to sin. If you're here and you're not saved, that's what's going on with you. You're bound up. You're bound up in sin, and you don't even know it. You think maybe everything's just okay, or it's just a little bit bad, and maybe it'll get turned here in the future. No, you need the Lord Jesus to pray to proclaim liberty to the captives, it says in Isaiah, to preach deliverance to the captives, it says there in Luke, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. I tell you what, sight to the blind, you need to be humble and understand that you can't see. You cannot see. And you need sight in vision from the Lord. He's the one that has that. Simon Peter, a call to humility and edification. In Matthew chapter 21, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn over here and read this for yourself. This is a hallmark passage in the Scripture. Our Lord Jesus declares this. And I tell you what, it paints a picture regarding Him and His kingdom. And then dealing as he's dealing there with Israel, and there's an overall principle with mankind. Verse number 44 of Matthew 21. "And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken." I'll tell you what, falling on the stone that is the Lord Jesus Christ, that rock that is the Lord Jesus Christ, is the right way to be broken, to be humbled, to know the truth of the situation, the thing that's at hand with you, between you and God, between me and the Lord. He says, "Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." You take a look at that in the Greek, it says it's a double reference, powder, that's the grinding, and powder. That's the word powder that we see there. I tell you what, it will destroy you. Which side of the rock are you? You're on the bottom side of the rock for destruction? Oh, I pray not. You're on the top side of the rock to be humbled, to be broken. I tell you what, there's a great promise to the broken by our Lord. In Isaiah 57, verse number 15, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy." This is what God says. This is His speech. This is His word that He has breathed. And Brother Isaiah wrote there in that day. This is what God is saying, the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. "I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit." That's who the Lord lives with. That's who the Lord lives with in eternity. In that place where there is no time, the dwelling of the Lord is in a reference to time. There is no time. And He's brought them there, the humble, the broken, the ones on the top side of the rock, the ones that hear and believe what He has declared and what He has said. He says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Why? He says, to revive the spirit of the humble. He said, I lift them up. I give them life. I revive them. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones, the broken, the humble indeed. In conclusion, our Lord Jesus spoke about two men here, and it's interesting what he says. He brings it to a summary of this whole subject. I know thee by name, Simon Peter, the call to humility and edification. In Luke chapter 18, verse number 9, the scripture says here, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. See, they think they know it all. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican, tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Oh, God heard it, but God didn't honor it or receive it. The man is just praying with himself and whoever's around near to hear him. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men, as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. I thank you, Lord, I'm not like this publican over here. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Lord, take my word for it, I'm doing pretty good. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, this man's humble, isn't he? That other, we don't find humility anywhere at all. That man is bragging and is proud about what he has done. He thinks he knows it all. He's not had anything revealed unto him, has he? The Word of God has not come and has not penetrated his heart to show him what God says about how the Lord is honored and how the Lord receives sinners and all that. This man says, I am self-righteous and in good shape. But the publican, he knows he's a sinner. And he tells God just as much. And he declares to the Lord, Lord, I need your mercy. I need you. I need your help. God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you what, that's not much of a prayer in regards to words, quantity of words, is it? And I tell you what, cutting to the chase and cutting to the truth, I tell you what, it is what the Lord wants to hear. It is what the Lord looks to hear and what is honoring unto him. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. This man knows that he needs the Lord's help. This man knows that he is not righteous in and of himself. He needs help from God. Verse number 14, Lord Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. I tell you, that's a big word. That's a big thing, justified. Just as if he'd never sinned. Why? Because he's repentant. He receives the Lord's case and the Lord's side against himself. He pleads the Lord for mercy and for help. He is not self-righteous in any wise. He doesn't claim what he has done, but he looks to what the Lord can do for him. Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. To be the servant of the Lord, Peter didn't need to be the old Peter, did he? No, he needed to be Peter affected and rolled up and wrapped up by the new man, the Spirit of God, by the salvation that the Lord had brought to him. That's the way Peter could be used. And as we saw in recent times, he's being used of the Lord even all the way to today, isn't he? Isn't that something? A fisherman from Galilee to be used of the Lord in that way? Simon Peter, the call to humility and edification. The Lord said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Again, the Lord is not humbling and does not humble to ridicule and to driving into the ground and to that. But he humbles us that he might build us up and bring us up his way. And that's a promise that we have from our Lord. In James chapter 4, verse number 6, the scripture says, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." The Lord favors the humble before him, his way. And in that same chapter, our brother admonishes us as his children, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." In conclusion, in 1 Peter chapter 5, we see the lesson learned here by Brother Peter, and I tell you what, he's rejoicing in it. He's rejoicing in the call of the Lord, the conversion of the Lord, of him, the lining up with the Lord. He's yet a saved sinner. He's a sinner, and he knows that. But I tell you what, he's been converted. His directive has been sealed, and he understands that. He's not wanting to go fishing commercially for a job anymore, but he's trusting in the Lord and resting in him and the call that he's made upon him. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 5, our brother tells this, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder." This is in church capacity. "Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility." Did you hear that come from this man's lips? He says, put it on as your clothes. Humility. Be humble. Be humble. Be humble before the Lord. Listen to the Lord and always say yes. And hear the directive and the charge of the Lord and always be obedient. And walk humbly with your God. He says, be clothed that way. "Yet all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." Verse 6, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God." I had to. And it was good. That's what Peter's saying there. That's the place of blessing. That's the place of honoring the Lord. That's the place of the call of the Lord. That's who the Lord fellowships with. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God." I tell you what, when Peter met the Lord Jesus, he met his match. "Son, your name is going to be Little." Little. Because you need to understand who's the rock and who's the pebble. He says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. There's no better place to be. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God." What's he say? "That he may exalt you, build you up in due time." He knows what's best. "I know thee by name, Simon Peter, the call to humility and edification."